Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
So this morning, quickly, we'll be having the review session for the Sunday school. How many of us have been blessed by the Sunday school? I know a lot of people are even a sigh of relief. It's only one hand I'm raising. So people are sighing, you know, sigh of relief. That finally, we are done. Ah, Oluwa. Tribule. So this morning, we'll just be running a short recap, you know, and I know that there'll be many questions in our hearts. So please, let's start sending in our questions. You know, don't be afraid. You know, we have our daddies here and our mommies here who are on hand. You know, I see the way Pastor Shegun is sitting. He's loaded with secrets, you know, to unlock mysteries this morning. Those questions that you're afraid of, don't be afraid. Pastor Shegun Adeko is here, you know. And our daddy, Pastor Lady, Pastor Moses, and Pastor Rose, they are here to answer our questions. So a short recap. We'll be looking through all of our manuals this morning. You know, we started with introduction to the subject of tribulation as part of the Christian life, you know, and we began to talk about how that through the leading of the Spirit, you know, our daddy, Pastor Emeka, and our daddy, Pastor Lady, you know, directed that the series of the subject of tribulation, you know, be taken in Sunday school, you know, and one of the things that we were told was how that, you know, the Lord impressed a very, very heavy burden in the heart of our daddy, Pastor Emeka, you know, that there are things coming, you know, upon the earth that we as a company of people need to be prepared for. We must not fall into the delusion of the 21st century Christian, you know, who would pray, you know. I think it was Pastor Iyola that was saying that, you know, there are churches that are, you know, affliction counseling churches, tribulation counseling churches, you know, where even something that the Lord allows for you, they will help you pray it away, you know. But we are a people who are, you know, trusting God that as we journey, we'll be constantly open to the will of the Lord, you know, concerning us. So we looked at some of the reasons for teaching tribulations. Please, let's not be distracted. I know we don't have a manual. Let's just follow. We looked at some of the reasons for teaching tribulation. And one of the things we said is that it's to help us have a fuller picture and mind of God from scriptures concerning the subject of tribulations. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. A familiar scripture that we read even all through the series. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. It says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." Let's also look at the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It was explicitly stated here, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So we said if we value entrance into the kingdom, we'll see tribulation differently. For a soul that values entrance into the kingdom, you know, Jesus said to Nicodemus that you know, for a man to see the kingdom, he must be born again. You know, he said, a man is not born of the water of the Spirit, he will not enter. And we understand that before a betting comes forth, there are travails. You know, travails of births. Now, many don't like that travails. They just want to touch, cute little baby. Oh, my this, my that. You know, the way ladies react when you see a little baby with the pot lips, you know, the cheeks, you know. You say, oh, my baby, I see baby. You know, you don't know what went through. The birthing of that baby. Even the mother knows what she went through. You know, you see, even before, even after birthing itself, you see a baby looking all clean and, You don't know the sleepless night that some people are having. You say, ah, cute little baby, let me touch your cheeks. But people are being dealt with so that that baby will look cute. You understand? So everything, betting, anything, entrance, you know, has tribulations around it. You know, so if we value entrance into the kingdom, we would see tribulation differently. So that was one of the things that the Lord began to help us to see. And also to help us to see that the devil and evil spirits have always brought tribulations and trials against us as believers and saints who have held on to the correct and accurate gospel in every Christian generation. So we began to say out that, you know, one sign that, you know, if the devil is not coming after you, you're probably where he wants you to be. You know, you are probably teaching what he wants you to teach. Do you understand? Because really, the Lord said that by reason of the things that you are hearing, tribulations will come. You know, praise God. When he was talking about the parable of the sower, those who received the word, but it did not gain root in them. They only received it with gladness, but it didn't find root in them. So when trials and tribulations concerning the things that they have heard came, they were immediately offended. Though the Lord doesn't want a people whose first response will be offense, you know, because many of the things that we are offended at are doors for our access, are doors for our entrance. So many have been offended at the brink of an entrance. Many have turned back at the brink of an entrance. And this is because there is ignorance. There is a sight that they are using to see situations around them that they shouldn't. So we must understand that pressures and, you know, trials that come to us are actually for our, when I say come to us, I mean the ones that the Lord allows to come to us. Because we would also see how that there are things that the devil and evil spirit try to bring our way. And this is mostly to be able to move us. You know, we said that when the Lord allows trials, the Lord allows tribulations, it is for to bring a soul up. But when they are in the sight of the adversary, it is temptation. Do you understand? He wants to move you. You know, Paul said so that no man will be moved by this affliction. So actually, afflictions wants to move you from the sight of the adversary. When he was negotiating with the Lord concerning Job, he wanted to move him. He wanted to be able to come back when the sons of God had gathered and said, I told you that he was going to curse you to your face. But Job did not give him that opportunity. You know, but because the Lord helped him to stay. Are we together? So we also looked at how that we need to not be caught up, I said that already, in the mind of 21st century Christian, you know, that doesn't believe in sufferings. You know, when you sing song like, me, I no go suffer, I no go beg for bread, God of miracle, now my papa. But this God of miracle also holds rod to chastise. Do you understand? For sons that he wants to receive. But you don't want to have that picture of the Lord that holds a rod. You just want the God that butters every bread and sugars every tea. Even if that tea is going to give you constipation. You just want to, can you sugar this tea? You know, I think it was, someone was saying something, I think it was from a movie, you know, how that, you know, a guy was complaining that, you know, what is God doing? You know, everything is just upside down, you know. And in the movie, so I think maybe he met God. God now said, okay, you know what? I will give you an opportunity to become God for one day. And the guy was like, oh, okay, what is so hard? What are you doing? So they gave him an opportunity to become God. You know, and the guy, at first, his head wanted to blow. When he saw the rates at which prayers were coming at him, the guy was confused. What kind of thing? Is this what he goes through? And then he just, control A, everything, answer. Immediately he answered all the prayers. The whole world turned upside down. Do you understand? Because God's understanding and judgment is to know that, you know, mercy also says no. Do you understand? Mercy also says no. So that the Lord is not answering a prayer. That's non-answer. Is an answer. If we plug into the understanding that the Lord has. So he answered all the prayers, and the whole world turned upside down. The person that is praying that kill my enemy, enemy is also praying that kill my enemy. Enemy, everybody is blowing themselves up. People are fighting themselves. You know, everything got so confused. So he saw that where God was actually standing, nobody can take his place. So we must realize that, you know, everything that the Lord allows to come our way is by reason of his mercy towards us. I was saying to someone earlier in the week that love has different dimensions. There are several. It's so manifold. When they now show you one side, you will not see that it is love. You have to need, you receive help for you to see that thing is love. Hallelujah. So also, we also look at how that we need to start getting prepared for the next phase of Christianity and the earth, which the everlasting gospel is opening up and ushering in. There's something that everlasting gospel is bringing in, and we must be prepared for it. You know, we must not just be a people hearing these things. We must strive to actually come into it quickly. Quickly. Because they said, if the very elect... mercy, they will scarcely be saved if the Lord does not have mercy. So it's not anything that anybody can do broad chest concerning. They said the tribulation that is coming upon the earth, you see, it has never existed before. And nothing like it will come. So it means that it is a deliberate, you know, it's a deliberate thing that is going to come. And it shouldn't just come upon us like an avalanche and we're like, oh, what happened? No, the Lord wants us to be prepared and adequately prepared for it. Hallelujah. So it's not far-fetched to note that this generation will face its fair share of hindrances and spiritual impediments as the light of everlasting life shines brighter. I remember an epistle life when Pastor Tope was teaching, and then he began to say that, you know, by much tribulation shall we enter. So let everybody, you know, both the people that are online, accept it. He said, I can hear that some people are not accepting tribulation. I accept it for you in the name of Jesus. You know, because somehow we can be teaching this and somebody in his mind say, Tufiakwa. You know, and the person has been Tufiakwa for 7 weeks. It is well. Hallelujah. So in lesson two, we began to look at how that tribulation is a must in our journey of salvation. It's a must. You know, 1 Thessalonians 3:4, we read that already. James chapter 1, verse 2. Quickly, we don't have too much of time. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. Now, the first response of an unlearned soul is not joy when they fall into diverse. So that's why the Lord wants to, you know, bring us hope in understanding. A soul that can count it all joy is a soul that is seeing rightly. Do you understand? Because really, in the midst of everything that we go through, the first thing that matters is who you are seeing. Really, is who you are seeing. So we must come to a place where, he said concerning our Lord Jesus, said, because of the joy that was set before him, so he was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. Hallelujah. So that means there will be cross to carry and there will be shame that comes our way. But if we are not seeing something, we will not be able to respond well. So the core emphasis of this teaching was for our sight, you know, to be changed. So we looked at how that understanding that salvation is on a tripartite level and knowing where particularly tribulation is permitted by the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us remember this teaching where we talked about how the man is a spirit, essentially a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. And we talked about a part of man that really, really faces tribulation. How many of us can remember? So which part of man faces tribulation? Is it the spirit? Can you take a spiritual tribulation? No, it's the soul. You know, one thing that I saw was that, you know, the access to man's spirit in the garden was through his soul. Even for salvation, you have to believe in your heart, confess in your mouth for salvation of yours. It's like that middle man is very, very important. It's very, very key. So it is that middle man that they want to save. For the man, the inward or the inner man, which is the spirit, his salvation is instant. You know, so it's delusion to want to now think that for the soul who has journeyed far away, the salvation will also be instant. It won't be instant. It will not be instant. You know, it has to take a process of. They have to, you know, because one of the things that we've been learning lately about building is that the things you are doing, it's not just as a result of maybe character, habits. There is already a building. There is a reason that they need to first demolish. You know, when we go out for inspection of buildings, there are some buildings that are called distressed buildings, and then you mark them for demolition. Because it's only a matter, they might be looking okay. In fact, you can go and call Baba Rokiba, let them patch it, and then you paint it. People do it. And it's a distressed building. You know, but we know that when you check this building, structural stability, he said, all of these things at my hand made. And all of these things have been. Means they exist. But what he wants to do now has never existed. It has only ever existed in our Lord Jesus. That is the template. That is the architectural plan that every one of us must conform to. If his window in his drawing is 1.2 meters, I must not desire 1.8 meters. Do you understand? I must align and conform with every detailed specification, because Jesus was a deliberate, intentional, conscious raising of the Father. It was not something that was just done, which was, aluminium roof, oja ejeka lora asbestos. No. It is what they needed for every point of that construction that they used. They didn't settle for less when it came to the raising of our Lord Jesus. So they won't settle for less for us also. So let us open our hearts to accept that what the Lord is doing is an intentional work of an establishment of a building. Hallelujah. So we looked at, you know, the soul, and how that, you know, the man who needs much tribulation to enter the kingdom is the soul. You know, and we said that for the soul to be saved, the soul, according to the wisdom of God in scriptures, needs to be fed with three kinds of meal. You know, how many of us remember the kind of meal that the soul needs to be fed with? The milk, the meat, and the strong meat. Eh? So that milk, what will the milk raise? When a soul has drank milk very well, what will it raise? What part of the building will it raise? Eh? We know these things now. Eh? Pastor, people are afraid to answer. We did this on the screen together now. If you give a child milk, 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 a babe, milk, 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 what will it raise? It will raise a child. A proper child. A proper child. You know, and the milk is described, you know, as, you know, those first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Abi, all of those things need to be properly laid in a soul that they want to build the foundation called Christ on. Because that is, even in construction, when you excavate, you don't just put the foundation on the ground. You first do some blinding. When you do that blinding, then in the column pit where you want to do the construction, you now do a base for the foundation. So the foundation also has a footing. Do you understand? Even foundation has a footing because it needs to sit well. If somebody is claiming Christ but knows nothing about laying on of hands, he can be cheated. If somebody is claiming, I am Christ, I am Christ, I am Christ, but is ignorant of resurrection of the dead, he can be cheated. So all of those things also need to be laid. And the Lord is so mindful that even if he has said, okay, let's move ahead, he said, if I permit, we'll go back. So there are permission that the Lord gives to go and, go and deal with this thing in your milk. You are still struggling with works of the flesh, repentance from dead works. You lied. You say, I'm an everlasting man. You know, that lie, don't bring me under condemnation. You lied. You understand? You lied. You can't bring me under condemnation. You can't. No, you lied. Do you understand? Don't try to sweep it under the carpet. You know that there are still works of the flesh that needs to be dealt with. Hallelujah. And we said that the meat of the word is what will raise that child from being a child to becoming a what? A perfect man. Not just a man. A perfect man. Hallelujah. A Christ man. Who is also a spiritual man. But you know that the spiritual man too is not yet saved. I didn't say he's not saved. It, to an extent, there's salvation that has been wrong. But he's not yet saved. Means that he can still be tempted. That's why the Bible will say that, is anyone overtaken in a fault? He said, let them who are spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Because they themselves can also be causing it. Because if they don't consider themselves and they feel that, you know, we are the restorers. You know, when people fall, we are the ones ordained to restore them. You know, and you go about with the restoration ministry, you can also be caught up. You can be caught. Because the person that fell, that person, is also after you. He's, in fact, he's angry that you are a spiritual man. If he can do anything to take you back to dust, he will do it. So that's why they said that a Christ man, what sustains a Christ man is to stay ever meek. I have not attained. It's not a negative conversion. Paul said it. Eh? Not as though I have attained. But he knows that there is a price. You know, it's called the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that what we take a soul there is the strong meat of the world. So that strong meat will now raise a man who is everlasting. You know, and in that strong meat, there is the first works and the last works. Hallelujah. Which is also described by our parent as the living and the abiding. The man who first start off as a living soul, as a living man, you know, which was where Adam fell from, you know, and then they will take him to a place where he is now abiding. You know, such a man is a man that the Lord now begins to look at that. This is already looking like a foundation that I can rest on. You know, and when they complete that work, when that cycle is completed, that soul is called a sure foundation that they can now put God upon. Hallelujah. So we look at what is tribulation. We define tribulation by the Hebrew meaning, which is narrow, tight, straight, distress, adversary. All of these things just looks like the way to the gate. The way to the kingdom. Abi, they said the way is what? And the gate is what? So that is what tribulation is. In fact, tribulation is leading of the Spirit. Following the Spirit wherever the Spirit will lead to. That is it. That is pressure. Hallelujah. So we also defined it as defined in Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 that tribulation is a kind of fellowship that the brethren in light have a privilege to share in. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 3 also defines tribulation as a tool for the working and the forming of Christ's nature in our soul. So they can't form nature in your soul without tribulation. They can't form nature in our soul without tribulation. Romans 5 verse 3 said, not so, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. So it's like they can't work patience if they don't take you through things that will test your patience. So, and as they test your patience, as you are able to stay and like Job, see the end of the Lord, a nature would have been wrought in you. Hallelujah. In conclusion, that's in the lesson 2, it's good to quickly add that it's not every trouble or tribulation around the Christian brethren that is God or allowed of God. Some are as a result of our disobedience. This we hope to look in our next lesson. So we also describe that some things are not by reason of, you know, the Lord allowing it. Sometimes we are overtaken in a fault and things come our way. You know, that's why James said that, is anyone sick? You know, let him call for the elder of the church. Let him pray for him, anointing him with oil. And he said, if there is any sin that they have committed. So it means that sometimes it can come by reason of a sin that has been committed. But that sin is not enough for the Lord not to intervene in that matter. If a soul can stand in the place of repentance and stand in the place of obedience and submission to spiritual authority. I think there was a king who, you know, did right with God. King Asher did right with God. And after a while, you know, maybe he did something and the Lord reprimanded him. And then he had an injury, a leprosy on his foot. And the Lord said he did not... seek the Lord. All true. He was depending on physicians till he died. It means that somewhere the soul was just offended. You know, and the Lord was able to heal him. Hallelujah. So we also look at lesson three, tribulation, a must in our journey of salvation, part two. We answered about two questions here, that at what point did it become a must for man to experience tribulations for to be saved? And then, if Adam and his wife, Eve, did not sin by disobeying God in eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, would they have still required tribulation to come into the fullness of salvation before they would be allowed to take of the tree of life? And, you know, Daddy answered this question succinctly and said that, you know, they would still have required tribulation, you know, but what they wouldn't have required is much tribulation. How many of us remember that? That it is as a result of the fall that made it much tribulation. Do you understand? So all that Adam just needed to do was to eat freely of all the trees of the garden. You don't know what that thing means. We don't know. You know, to eat freely of all the trees of the garden, and then the Lord will now deem him ready for to take of the tree of life. Because the truth is that the Lord doesn't seal anything that is not sure. That's one thing that we must know. If the Lord has not sealed any, he's not done. He's not done. It's not done. So all of the things that the Lord was leading them, you know, I think it was Pastor Yola that was saying that if you take shortcuts, you will be cut short. Do you understand? Really, and that is the truth. He wanted a shortcut even into the life that God had promised, you know, but not knowing that the person who was offering it had something in hand for to cut him off so that he can take his place. Hallelujah. So it's not like they did not need tribulation. They needed to also go through a narrow path because the way to the Father is that it's not broad. If it was broad, it means that anybody can. No, it's not for anybody. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And all those who will be calling the name of the Lord, there must be a departure from iniquity. Now, iniquity is not something a soul willingly wants to depart from. So if iniquity is not easily departed from, means that those who will be journeying unto the Father, there will not be much. Say, many are called, only few are what? Chosen. Now, they also made it such that there is only one way to the Father. You know, we hear people saying things about, you know, along Connell and sin. We are serving the same God. You're serving Jesus. I'm serving Muhammad. I can, you know, we can find our way to God. But the Lord made only one way to the Father. He said, I am not one of the way. Not another way, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the... If it is the Father you are going to, it is only by me. So for you to even see that it's only one way they made available means that it is not a broad way. Jesus is not a broad way, you know. It's the kind of way that will tell you that if you want to follow me, carry your own cross also, because I carried mine. Hallelujah. That's the kind of way that leads to the Father. So we looked at all of those questions. So God's normal ways and paths are where God's thoughts can naturally be found. But those ways and paths are tribulations to our souls while our souls journey in the quest for God, for God's thoughts or God's salvation. Isaiah 55 from verse 8 tonight talks about how that the wicked man should forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, so for we're saying that, you know, for a soul to become to have journeyed to wickedness means that he has used thoughts of unrighteousness so much that he became a way inside him. And that's what made him a wicked soul. You know, but the Lord is still saying that he can deliver such a soul if they can forsake it. So he will first forsake his ways and then forsake his thoughts. You know, and as he does that, they begin to close the gap. Say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. So the Lord wants to close that gap. Now, for them to close, you see what it means to close a gap? There is pressure on both sides. There is pressure on both sides. And then you close the gap. So it's a lot of work. So we must be willing to allow the Lord do his work. How many of us would say, I am willing to allow the Lord do his work? Even in my soul, and to close the gap between his thoughts and my thoughts, between his ways and my ways. Hallelujah. So quickly, let's go to the fourth lesson. We are running because of our time. We've all learned this thing. So we also looked at tribulation in the churches, a case study of the church in Thessalonica. We took a cursory look at the epistle of Paul written to the Thessalonians church, you know, and we saw that the central theme was afflictions, persecutions, and tribulation. And that was something that was characteristic of this Gentile church. Paul said that they received, having received the word, in much afflictions. Hallelujah. They received it in much afflictions. And Paul was only able to stay with them for 3 Sabbath days, you know, and he taught them for 3 weeks, you know, and then he was forced out to go to Berea, and then forced from Berea also by the same Jews to go to Corinth. Hallelujah. You know, and after he got to Corinth, we don't know the distance. You know, someone asked me a question, so maybe we should just answer it, you know, under our daddy. Let me check the question again. I think there was also a question that was sent. Yes. Are we writing our questions? Someone asked me a question. Pastor, sir. Said, sir, are we trying to say the great height the Thessalonians church got to was attained within 3 weeks? I remember clearly that what we taught from here was that Paul taught them for 3 Sabbath days. He taught them for 3 weeks. And he was forcefully evicted from that place. In fact, he had to even escape because they wanted to kill him. He went to Berea, you know, and then they came there also when they saw that the word of God was prospering to attack him there. And he left Berea also, and he had to escape. We don't know the span of time between when he had left them and when he sent Timothy to go and check on them. But it was the report that Timothy brought of that church that was a testament of what the church had come into. Paul was so afraid because even Paul knew that what he did there was like a short walk of 3 weeks. So he was concerned. He said, lest the devil or the tempter attempted you and our labor was in vain. Even though he knew that the Lord, they had a different manner of entering, unlike any other church, such that they became examples to all of the churches in the region of Macedonia. Hallelujah. Are we together? They received the word in much affliction. And we said that that much affliction was like an unfair advantage that gave them speed, you know, to be able to journey fast into the things of God. He said that they turned from idols to begin to serve the living and true God. So that is not a small work. But Apostle Paul only stayed with them for 3 weeks. Now, it doesn't mean that it is in that 3 weeks, because he still had to come write to them concerning some things which he didn't want them to be ignorant of. He still had to write to them concerning some things which he didn't want to still see and miss them. Hallelujah. Because he talked about some who among them were unruly, were not doing any work. Do you understand? He also wrote to them about the coming of the Lord, that they will not be ignorant of it. Hallelujah. So that the work was done in 3 weeks was not what was taught here. What was taught here was that Paul taught them for 3 weeks. Now, the distance between when he wrote to, he sent Timothy to them, and Timothy brought that report, we don't know. Hallelujah. You know, but what we are assured of was that a work was done in the church in Thessalonica. Hallelujah. Because, you know, that the way it is, me that have been hearing this word for 25 years. You know, some people hear word for 3 weeks and look at their conversation. You know, because brotherly love profited amidst them. He said, I have no need to write to you. When Timothy came and began to explain the brotherly love that the church in Thessalonica, he said, I have no need to write to you. He said, even concerning times and seasons, he's like, you people, you are sharp. Your antenna is sharp. I don't have any reason to write to you. So he brought a testimony of what they had come into. Hallelujah. But how long that work took, we didn't say anything about that here. All we thought was that Paul taught them for 3 weeks. I hope that question has been answered. You know, I know it could also be a question in somebody's heart concerning the Thessalonica church, you know. So, impact of tribulation on that church, we have said it, that brotherly love prospered. They also understood times and seasons, and they were also qualified for entrance. All right. Okay. Let's quickly go to the... We're almost done, so that we can answer all the questions, and our daddy, Pastor Lady, we've been on hand to, you know, give answers to most of these questions. lesson 6 talks about tribulation in the church in contemporary times. So, how many of us remember that Sunday where we began to talk about church history? We talked about the afflictions and the persecution of the church, that even in spite of those persecutions, the church was growing. You know, among the people who were persecuting the church, Roman commissioners who were persecuting the church, their family members also became Christians. Soldiers in Rome also became Christians. Because people who beheld conversation of the Christians, you know, someone that you have already you have already thrown in the pit, you know, for lions to devour, you see the joy in them, see them singing hymns, and there was conviction in their hearts. You know, so in spite of all of those things, the church began to grow. You know, we talked about all the things that Emperor Nero did, you know, how that Apostle Paul was beheaded, Antipas, Aristarchus, all of these people. Talked about Antipas. We talked about Timothy, you know, the bishop of Ephesus, who was only reprimanding people who were going as a procession of idol worshippers, and then they clubbed him to death. You know, we talked about all of these things. People who were torchlighters for our faith. Talked about how that the Bible was preserved. You know, the reason why we can have the Bible is because some people laid down their life to make sure that the truth of the word was preserved. Imagine in this age and time, we have to first go and learn Latin to be able to read the Bible. So that means people like Elsie, Ethan, who are trying to read some of the scriptures now, they have to first learn Latin. Do you understand? So I can see my mommy Rose smiling because thank God that they don't have to learn Latin, you know. So the Lord had to, you know, use that work, you know, to make sure that we have something to hold on to even now. So the last lesson, we looked at the essence of understanding tribulation. Why should a believer be taught about tribulation? You know, Jesus taught it. You know, one of the things that we said about our Lord Jesus was that our Lord Jesus was not trying to be politically correct in any situation. He will say it the way things are. And it's not brashness or not knowing how to talk. No. It's not that he didn't know how to answer every man. Jesus knew how to answer every man. In fact, every answer he gave at every time was what the Father was answering to any man that questioned him. Do you understand? Because grace was poured upon his lips. So even answers that you see in the scriptures that you feel like, why did Jesus answer this thing like this? You know, they came to tell him, Master, the Herod has mixed people's blood, you know, with sacrifice. And he said, if you also do not repent, you'll also suffer this. And you're like, Do you understand? You'll be like, why are you so harsh? They won't need to pay now. Do you understand? You know, somebody was saying, you know, Lord, you know, come and judge this matter. My brother, our father left an inheritance for us, you know, and my brother has refused to share. And the Lord said, beware of covetousness. Like, covetousness. It's not like, I'm not coveting his own. In fact, he coveted my own. I'm not coveting his own. My own portion. Can they give me? He said, beware of covetousness. And I tell you what, that is what the Father would have said to that man. Because what the Lord was seeing was a door. Can he lay down this covetousness? He will enter an estate where that thing that his brother did no longer bothers him. He counts it as dung. And then he's able to access kingdom. Hallelujah. We also learned that it is part and parcel of the program of the end. We read that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 to 14. How that the final appearance of our Lord Jesus will be preceded by a season of tribulations. The two seasons are inseparable and consecutive. It therefore makes sense that a generation unable to endure the tribulation will not be made ready for the appearance. It is those that endure to the end that shall be what? Saved. So salvation is at the end of an endurance journey. Hallelujah. It's not those who jackpot in between or those who turn their hands, you know, who remove their hands from the plow. And we said that in the season of enduring, many doors will open because Satan also opened doors of escape. But you need to just see that one door that the Lord has opened. Because he said that in all the tribulation that will come your way, he said, there will be a door of escape. And we must see that door. Hallelujah. So we also looked at how that the church needs to be prepared for it. We've said that already. The church needs to have the right disposition towards it. The enemy has done a whole lot to erode the consciousness of sufferings, trials, and tribulation amidst the church. One of the things that made things now become like that was that the enemy saw that tribulation and afflictions was not working. Every time they afflicted, they were like, I said, the Christians were like zombie. You kill one, four will just appear. You kill two, eight will appear. So Satan saw that, he's like, this thing is not working. Let's change the strategy. So they now, Constantine, then I said, can we bring the church? In fact, let the church be the government. In fact, we as government will be paying tithes to the church. So you see Pope, who are now taking position of God, who they feel that his own commandments are stronger. Someone was telling, what's the name of this man that I mentioned? The one after Martin Luther, who wrote like Tyndale, William Tyndale. Thank you. Someone was telling him that we should rather be ignorant of the laws of God than the laws of the Pope. Because of how strong the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church, was. He was saying that, can't people just learn the scriptures? And the guy said, the law of the Pope said that we should only be teaching, the scripture is too sacred. If we expose it, it will reduce the sacredness. Can we make it mysterious? Let it be in Latin. When people come, so people who come to church, they don't understand the service. They don't understand anything about salvation. They don't know anything about faith. All they knew was that I have to pay for my sins. I have to buy things for to be able to remit my sin. I have to confess my sin to the Pope, who will now remit my sin and then grant forgiveness unto me. So those were understandings that was in the church. People had to lay down their life that no, because that was a strategy of the enemy. And when persecution now stopped, the dark ages now came. Ignorance. When they stopped persecuting the church, ignorance now prevailed. Satan was able to destroy many by ignorance than through persecution. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, we said tribulation is part of the salvation program. No saint finished his or her course without partaking of certain sufferings and inconveniences that made faith precious enough to withstand the accusation of the enemy and the face of God. May we all endure to the end and thus be saved in Jesus' name. Pastor Yola said yesterday, that Isaiah 28, that for a stone to become precious, it must first be tried. So we must understand that all of these things are important for us to be a raising, an habitation, that we grant God rest in the name of Jesus. All right, so we have a few questions here. We can still send in our questions. Don't be afraid. Pastor Shegun is here. Daddy Omokafe is here. Our daddy, Pastor Laide, they're here. Me, I'm not afraid. Come, bring it. Let's see, fill this place. If they can't answer it now, we'll send the answers down to you. Hallelujah. Okay, so I received a question yesterday, which I believe that, okay. My question is, how do we differentiate between what is a tribulation that God allows so that a nature can be dealt with in us and an affliction that we might need to stand in faith against or to rebuke? I know that this question was probably answered in the course of the teaching, but let's just address it again. One of the things that we must understand is that at every coming of affliction, the first response of a soul, of a believer, is to pray. Now, the prayer, like we said, prayer is not, thank God, how many of us have been blessed by the prayer series? I began to see prayer differently. Prayer is not first that, Lord, I have a request, answer it. Prayer is first in that situation to know what is in the mind of the Lord. I said in James that is any afflicted, let him pray. That is the first response. And that prayer, Pastor Lydell said, that prayer doesn't even mean that. Sometimes you can be in such a situation that you can't even open your mouth. You can just be silent before the Lord. Although this one is for somebody that has, journeyed very high, that even in silence, he can pick the silence of God and know his heart. Do you understand? You know, one of the things that we looked at in, I think that should be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7. From verse 7. You know, and it said, unless I should be exalted above measure. This was Apostle Paul. Exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And what's the next verse? I besought the Lord thrice. Now, Apostle Paul prayed that this thing would depart from him. Why? Because he had an understanding that this thing is a messenger of Satan. Do you understand? It's not that he didn't know that he should first pray and know what is the... It was clear that this thing was a messenger of Satan. This one is a thorn in my flesh. But then he still prayed. And when he prayed 3 times. An apostle of that caliber praying 3 times that this thing should be taken away from me. Then the Lord answered. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? And the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So it means that they did not remove that thorn. Do you understand? Even though he saw it, that this thing was a thorn in my flesh, he realized that this thing, even though it was a messenger of Satan, it was from the Lord. And the answer that the Lord asked for this thing is grace. So if grace is enough for it, I won't bother. Because there are some indications that shows that something is not from the Lord. The Lord will never afflict his child with sickness. I think we should just get that straight. The Lord will never afflict his child with sickness. And because if he has, in our Lord Jesus, borne all our stripes and infirmity, and then he has completed the work in Jesus, such that by his stripes ye were healed, why will he still bring sickness? Is he trying to test the efficacy of the power of our Lord Jesus? No. So, but things can come our way, either by disobedience, either by lack of understanding of how to keep our body, but there is also provision for healing. Do we understand? So there are some indicators that some things are not from the Lord. The righteous, we never beg for bread. Do you understand? He may not have a job. He may not have a source of income, but the Lord will always come through. David said, I was young and I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed do what? Beg for bread. So if, imagine somebody is coming to church and the person has not eaten for 2 days and say, the Lord is afflicting me. No. The Lord has made provisions available around you. You are the one who is not seeing it. It could be that they even want to break pride inside of you. They may want to break pride and then they will seize things from you. One of the things that we know is that the Lord will never allow anything to come your way. You know, something happened and then, you know, I was talking with Pastor Lady. I'm not trying to glory in it. Pastor Lady just said, listen, I know that this thing is your size. Ah! I was afraid. Do you understand? It just brought to light that scripture that if the Lord permits anything, he wasn't caught off guard. If the Lord permits anything, it is because he has enough resources for you to be able to overcome in that situation. So we must understand that the Lord will not allow anything to come our way that is beyond what we can bear. So it's not every tribulation. What we must do at every point is to pray, pray, pray. Tell your neighbor, pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. You know, Psalm 50. You know, a classic example of someone who always called upon the name of the Lord in times like that was David. Psalm 50, verse 15. Say, and call upon me in the day of what? Trouble. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Even Jonah in the belly of the fish, after he knew that it was, he prayed. Jonah chapter 2. Okay. Daddy wants to.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just to buttress what he's saying. We must grow some. Say amen. Amen. We must grow some. By growing some, what I mean is this. our hearing from the Lord and being led by the Lord. Because it's good that we pray, but you can't receive from the Lord much more than your growth. Are you understand it? You can't, even if you go to the place of prayer, what you receive is how far, how much is the time where how much you have been led of God or you have been yielded to Him. Are you understanding it? So when we say pray, it can still seem vague because it's a heart that is praying. And when you are praying, it's desires. But if you have been led, you have been cultured by yielding to the Lord, yielding to the Spirit. Let me use the word loosely. Your intuitiveness in the Spirit begins to broaden, to see when God begins to lead you into new grounds. For example, that same passage where Pastor read, he said, Paul said, I besought the Lord. This is the same Paul that through his hand he had commanded. Of course, we all read Spiritual Authority by Kenneth Hagin. He had casted out devils. He had commanded. Great miracles had been done. So why will Paul besought the Lord? Are you understanding? Now, I was just telling Pastor Moses, I've heard a minister say what happened here was Paul besotting the Lord. And the response of the Lord was that the Lord was telling Paul that you don't need to tell me to take it away. Grace is sufficient for you. Use grace to deal with Satan and all of that. All manner of teaching, sincerely. I was scared because that as revelational, you know, and the judge said, wow! As revelational as it sounds, it beats the whole thought of the passage. Then why would Paul say you rather glory in his infirmities so that the strength of God will be made perfect? Do you understand? Well, say that what God was telling Paul was that grace has taken care of it. Use grace. Don't be telling me to take care of. I'm like, wow. Amen. Now, Paul knew what to command. Paul knew what to ask the Lord to take away. Are you understanding? Now, what it's that growth, is sight, is judgment. Knowing that, you know, Egin, when Egin was teaching Triumphant Church, he said, the Lord Jesus told him that principalities and powers, rulers, you take authority over them. Rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, I am the one that will deal with it. You don't deal with it yourself. He said, principalities and powers, you can stand on the authority in the name of Jesus and command them, they will leave. He said, but rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness is deadly. He said, it is my own responsibility. But that one you have to. So you have to know the kind of thing you are facing. And it takes judgment to know. So sometimes in the place of prayer, it's just discerning. Lord, what is this? What manner of thing is this? So Paul besought the Lord thrice. And the Lord said, you see this kind of thing? I'll give you grace. You don't even address it. You walk through it. You disobey their law. So what I'm saying is, it's good to pray. But if you don't have judgment in the place of, if you are not used to inclining your heart to the Spirit, you won't even know the manner of thing you are facing. You won't know the manner of thing. You can be using deploying the wrong weapon to addressing the wrong situation. Do you understand it? So it's the word of the Spirit is vast, but one of the things that we must always understand in all things, God is for us. Whether principalities, power, whether rulers of darkness, whether spiritual wickedness, high places, we have God who is what? For us. Are we understanding? Are we blessed? Thank you so very much.
I appreciate that, Daddy. So say to your neighbor, grow. You know, so grow. I said grow. So the key is in growth. So because as our Daddy has said, even as you pray, you know, the prayer is like there are calibers of prayers. You know, the prayer that someone like the high priest will offer is different from the kind of prayer that people in the outer courts will offer. You know, so the praying is to just know the mind of God. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind, you know, of the Spirit. You know, I hope that question has been answered for whoever asked it. So we have another question here. It said, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. Does this mean that all tribulations, persecutions, afflictions will stop once I enter the kingdom. Are there still sufferings to come, even despite entering the kingdom? Now, I just see the person, you know, in the heart of this person, the person is seeing kingdom first as a place. You know, maybe when I enter there, heaven at last, all sorrow, you know, tears are wiped away, everything is done away with. You know, that is from the perspective of seeing kingdom as first a place. Abi? As first a place. But we must also know that it's not just the ultimate intention of God for you to enter the kingdom. You must also inherit the kingdom. So even as you have entered the kingdom, they still have a work to do. For you to do what? Inherit the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. So somewhere, we just have this mindset of, you know, maybe the escape from all of this is just to do what? To just die. You know? Because the Bible says that he that ceased from his flesh, he that has, you know, suffered in his flesh, ultimate suffering from in the flesh, has ceased from sin. Okay, not to make light of this answer, this question, you know, one of the things that we have been taught is that the kingdom is not just first a place. The kingdom is an estate. The kingdom is a stature that a soul comes into, and it's in grades. Hallelujah. You know, so that mind of, you know, will there still be tribulations, persecutions, afflictions? You know, if you are even looking at it from the realm of a place, that, okay, maybe when you enter heaven, will there still be pressure? You know, but really, what the soul that enters heaven cannot, you know, is going to enter with what he has come with. Do you understand? And it is the knowledge that that soul has that he has come with. But the Lord, even for those who are in the kingdom, still has a plan for them to learn. You understand? So there will still be, I think it was it the final quest that Rick Joyner was saying that he went someplace, he saw some people that Paul was teaching them. They were still learning. There was still pressure. That pressure of, you know, learning. Learning and gathering knowledge. If we want to look at kingdom as a place. I'm trying to come down to the mind of the person that I'm saying, asking this question. If you want to even see kingdom as a place, it is what you have entered kingdom with that will determine how much work still needs to be done upon you. The kings of the earth, they will come and fetch light and come and still teach people. Abi? They will still have people that will still be learning about God, because learning continues. If it is learning that the soul is wanting to escape from, learning will continue. Now, that's looking at kingdom as a place. Now, also, concerning afflictions from Satan, you know, pressure from Satan, the person can experience it over there, my pastor. Those who have, you know, entered the other side, Satan cannot do anything to them again. He has lost them forever. Do you understand? Satan has lost them forever. But that they will not go through pressure of learning or pressure of still becoming in their soul. That one. Clear it from your mind. There is still work to be done. Hallelujah. Pastor wants to answer that question.
Amen. Praise God. Yes. Through much tribulation, we will enter the kingdom of God. But like our teacher said, the kingdom of God is not a place. It is inside of us. Amen? And God doesn't just want us to enter. It is also, he wants us to inherit it. Now, what makes tribulations, as long as we are in this flesh, would experience pressures, but it will cease for a kind of people. When I say it will cease, is that thing will not lay the weight of a feather on you again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You will have how many of us maybe remember when we were in primary school, when they wake us up to bath, and go to school. How many of us used to like it? You remember how many of us fought going to bedroom to go and just, oh, Jesus. You can throw tantrums, scatter the whole place because of. But now you have grown some. Do you still do that? Do you bait? But do you do that again? Why? You have outgrown that thing. Are you understanding? That thing is no more trouble. It's like, must we always do this? Then, are you understanding? Must we always do this? Now, that thing, then it had power to trouble you as a young child. But just some growth in the natural, that thing doesn't have power to trouble. In fact, some of you will bath 3 times a day now. Is that so? Because there is, that thing doesn't have a weight upon your soul again. It will get to a time, sir. There is nothing in the natural. Even if they put you in boiling pot of oil. Are you understanding? Like they put John. If they throw you to the Isle of Patmos, it will be as if you are in Sheraton. Do you understand it? Because there is nothing in the natural that wants, because of how well the soul has been raised. So what I'm saying is this. As long as we are here, things will come, pressures will come. But because of the progress of the work of salvation, you will have outgrown the many assaults and pressures that you are not enduring anything. You are not what? Enduring anything again. There is nothing that your brother wants to do that wants to put a pressure to you. There is nothing that government wants to do that wants to be a pressure to you. There is no situation that they want to arrange externally that wants to concern you. Even the state of the church, there is an understanding you come to that you are not troubled like God again. Are you understanding one? That it is possible in the day of your flesh. Are you understanding? But that thing will be determined by how much of entrance, how much of a kingdom man you have been made. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, yes, circumstances will continue. Are you understanding? You won't just suddenly become, they won't chart a separate, no, it will continue. But something has been raised so much that in the midst of it, look at Jesus, for example, in the midst of the boat, everybody was, carest not that thou will perish. He wasn't perturbed. Do you understand it? He wasn't perturbed. It came. Do you know it was for their sake that he calmed it? It was not for his sake. Left to Jesus, he would have just gone through. The same thing when the boat was shaking and he was walking on water. It was for him, he would have just walked through and go to the next place. Do you understand it? But for their sake, he needed it to calm. For their sake, not for his sake. For their own sake. So understand that all of the things that we hear, it will continue. But you will have so much grown that it doesn't move you. Are you understanding? You are not. Only the will of one person is that. That's what matters to you. So, and you are not trying to reconcile the difference between what you're experiencing with. No. You already have perfect understanding. You already have perfect judgment. You can handle it. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Thank you.
Amen. Can we appreciate our pastor? I don't know. Are there still further questions? Ushers? Anybody? All right. So let's begin to bless the name of the Lord for the conclusion of this series. Can we appreciate God for how far the Lord has helped us? Let's bless the name of the Lord.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.